What year did you move to town?
Somewhere around the 70s, I think it was. I don't know how to define it, but I mean, it took about 7 years, something like that, 5 or 7 years, to actually move. We didn't do it overnight. Yeah. You know, they gradually moved out.
Why did they decide to move out to town?
I mean, it was modernization. I mean, you know, you couldn't keep up the... I mean, all the... If a biscuit was baked on one floor and it had to be creamed, it had to go up about two floors. And how did it get up there? By hoists. So they had to wheel these things into these hoists and lift, and up they went and out again. I mean, the handling was crazy. And then they would have done the same with the chocolate. They was on a different level. The mallow was on a different level. So all these things had to be moved all over. There was constant movement. And, of course, when they got out to Tala, the biscuit was baked there, cooled there, and rolled there, or to the mallow there, and out the back into a pack, and it was gone.
On a conveyor?
Yeah, straight through. Virtually, I mean, there were certain things you had to take them off, but... Yeah. I mean, it went from a sort of higgledy-piggledy up and back down again, up to straight to.
So were you working in the engineering section at that stage?
No, I wasn't. I was on the, I was out on the floor in that time, and I was in, I was attached to the goods inwards at that stage. And all the, I mean, when we went out to Tala, I was between the two factories for about 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there for an afternoon, back for a morning here and all the rest.
And why did you say it was such a traumatic experience?
I tell you why the traumatic affair was. When you went in the old mother house in Bishop Street, it was, as I say, bits taken in on floor, different levels, little stairs up and round the corner. And when you went out off the main factory, and even, I haven't got to go too far, you went into this maze of, you know, passageways and so on. And you never knew who you were going to meet.
Yes.
You see, I mean, you know, you were walking up back to the upper stairs, I meet so-and-so and all the rest, and you go round the corner and meet somebody else. When you went out to Tala, you went into a box.
Yes.
And you see everybody. You could see everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And that was quite a, you know, quite a difference.
Did you? Which would you... prefer.
Oh, the old way was lovely. I mean, you never knew who you're going to meet, but you saw the logic of the thing in a sense. Yeah. You know, but that was quite a, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one. You know, that you're moving from one area into another,
completely and completely different environment altogether. You know?
Yeah. What other? That's a fascinating point you brought up. Mm. Was there any other changes like that you felt were significant?
No, I think the you were out of the city. That was another thing, because certainly for the office staff who had an hour and a half for lunch or something, you know, you could go down Georgia Street and, as we used to say, into Doctles. We always went Doctles. And we went in there. You always had something, you know, of cutlery. You would wander down and see what was down there. And when you had to talk, there was nothing.
You had your own cafeteria.
Oh, yes. And we had it in Jacob's, too. Oh, yeah, we had it in Bishop Street, too. It's just that you had a bit of extra time and you wanted, if you had a message to do, you could always get to Grafton Street and back in your lunch hour. You know?
I see, yes.
And if you didn't take lunch, you certainly could do it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Mm. But when you were moving, as you say, changing the place from inside outside, was business just as good? Did it improve when?
I know it improved. Well, it certainly kept going. Anyway, it was tough to keep it going in the two areas, you know, production in both places, and then eventually the dispatch all moved out to Tala. So that everything was done in Bishop had to be brought out to Tala.
Yeah.
Only the final goods.
And was there a lot of redundancies?
Well, there would have been, yeah, I suppose there were, yeah.
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 To go back to the old building, you had That was the old school, the old way of doing things, you know, that it had been there so many years before that. You know,
yeah.
Gone
yeah,
back
yeah.
and doing it always in the same way. And, you know,
yeah, I suppose it would have, yeah. I mean, there were, you can go back if you wanted to go back to the horse-drawn, you know, transportation was by horse and, you know, and then they went to tractors or down up and down to the docks for the exports. And then they got the vans in, of course. But, I mean, there were originally horses there, I mean, before my time.
Yeah.
But they were there. And,
I know. And you were responsible for incoming goods.
Mm.
So you saw the produce coming in. What was used in the making of it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
raw materials.
What do you remember about... Where did the produce come from? And what was it that... You know, the flour and the sugar.
Well, yeah, flour was always home, I'd say. I don't remember. We might have imported a little bit of different flours, but in general, it was either Boland's or Odlum's were the two main suppliers of flour.
Yeah.
And it was to a specific, you know, formula or recipe, I suppose. You know, you just didn't go and go to the shop and get a couple of bags of flour if you were short. It was a certain flour, biscuit flour. And they manufactured sugar, came from, of course, the sugar company in those days. And
so was that Carlow sugar, or was it?
Yeah, came from wherever they were.
Yeah.
I mean, we just ordered from Irish Sugar and don't know where it came. We could have come from many other their places. Carlow, I think, was probably the main one. And fats came from Drogheda in the originally, and syrup. I think syrup was we import a bit of syrup, I think, all right. But there was some came from Carrigaline, wasn't it, down there? There was a glucose factory down. The glucose, that was another one we had to bring in. Yeah, they came. They were locally. The glucose was local.
And the jams?
Jams, yeah. Well, they're not an awful lot of jam. We used to get jam in big containers, you know, big pots and things. They were local, I think.
Yeah.
The Lambs or somebody had the jams.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do they get the jam into the rolls?
Why?
Into
well,
the
if I told you that, I don't think it printed. One of my first... memories of going around the factory was the girls doing raspberry and custard. Now, don't say that it wasn't mechanised. And the girls would put the biscuits out on large trays singly, and they'd get a row of biscuits and they'd put them all in rows, you know, and all upturned, and then they'd come along with an icing bag, which is, you know, large ice bag, and put a blob of jam on each biscuit. Oh, first of all, they put a ring of cream. That was the one. A ring of cream, this is during raspberry custard, on each biscuit. And then a blob of jam, and then top them off, and then send them away to set. Now, it was as bad, you know, that was all hand done. Mallows were done the same way, by piping the mallow.
Each one separately?
Yep.
My goodness, yeah.
But just see the speed they went at it was absolutely amazing.
And was that job mostly women?
Yeah. But they went at a terrific speed.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see them, you know, fantastic. And same with coconut creams or mallows. They'd put the biscuits out and they'd be done down to...
The skill, huge skill in doing that.
But then I want to remind you now when you were talking about the jam.
With the figs into the fig rolls.
No, that's definitely
that's a secret.
the getting the jam into the bag, that was to me a mainly amazing skill. They had a steel basin, stainless steel basin, actually, you know, and the girl would get it, and there was a tub of jam. And she would get into the jam with her hands and get a blob of jam. I don't know how they did it, but they used to, about the size of a football, and they'd go down to the drum and be able to take this up by rolling their hands like that and then into the basin, and from the basin then they went into the bag and all that. But getting that up was, it used to fascinate me. Yeah. As a girl, when it got down to the bottom of the barrel, you could see it was the girls behind, and all of a sudden she come back up rolling this thing.
Yes, indeed. And she'd do that huge repetition day
after
day.
Well, she'd have that every time she'd fight
around. And to get it right.
Yeah, well, it was tremendous. Yeah. But that was all mechanised, of course, after that.
How did they manage? To design the equipment to do just that, but then all these people, they were redundant, I suppose, as soon as
the machinery came in, there were less staff wanted for it.